City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of the All Hornets Podcast Network. I'm your host, James Plarrow, aka British_Buzz on Twitter. And today, for most of the episode, I'm going to be joined by Chase Whitney. And we're going to be going through the latest on Miles Bridges, some new uniforms, new courts, training camp invites, and then looking at some potential Westbrook-Randall trade rumors and how we think some of those players can fit. And we also touch on a rare off-season Greensboro Swarm trade as well, which is actually quite interesting. But before we dive into that, I wanted to first touch on a signing which was made after me and Chase got done recording the podcast, and that is the Hornets signing a point guard. Not Kemba Walker, not Isaiah Thomas, but Dennis Smith Jr. Dennis Smith Jr. was originally drafted by the Mavs and was traded to the Knicks in part of the Porzingis trade, and after having a strong rookie year where he averaged around 16 points per game, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, he's essentially fallen out of the rotation, both in Dallas in his second year, and as soon as he arrived in New York, he struggled to establish himself. And since then, he's had kind of bit part role player roles in Detroit, and then in Portland last year, where eventually he got waived after sustaining an elbow injury. So it's fair to say, despite only being 24 years old, he struggled to really kind of prove himself to have a consistent role. But I just want to go in a little bit on Dennis Smith Jr. and some of my thoughts on this signing. So I think firstly, I think Hornets fans were generally a little disappointed with the signing. Generally, I think people wanted Isaiah or Kemba back as that kind of veteran locker room leader. And Dennis Smith is just, he's not that kind of player. He's 24 years old. He's still trying to establish himself in the league. He's not necessarily going to be kind of the key guy to help influence some of your young guys, which a lot of people, and myself included, feel is a kind of a valued role that is needed in the locker room right now in Charlotte. So I think that's one concern. That's not to say that Dennis Smith isn't, I'm not saying he's going to be a problem at any way as a player, but he's not necessarily just going to be one of those guys who's really going to be looking out for the young guys because he's trying to reestablish his NBA career. I think the other thing people are concerned about is just the potential unreliability as well. As I mentioned in the opening, he's not held down a solid kind of backup rotational point guard role since his very first rookie year. So that's now the last four seasons he's essentially been out of the rotation of most of his teams. Now, this isn't to say that it's a complete kind of no-hoper here. On the three games last year where Dennis Smith actually started for the Portland Trailblazers, and this was back in December last year, he actually averaged 15 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.7 steals and a block per game. So like put up pretty good numbers, and that was a 53% from the field and 33% from 3. So like perfectly respectable numbers. After that is when he got the elbow injury and he wasn't available anymore. But in that stretch, he did actually flash, which was generally in the last 9-10 months, he had put together a strong 3-game stretch there. So I think this is more of like an upside backup ball handler play, which I think almost would have kind of made more sense a couple of years ago when the Hornets were more in rebuilding mode and the vibes being given out from the team is that they want to compete now. They're going to go for a playoff spot. How likely that is, I think will be a challenge. It's not impossible, but will be a challenge this year with the improved East and the struggles to upgrade the roster. So I think it's a kind of a little bit of an odd timing than maybe most would expect for this signing to be made now. I think also just his fit generally with the backup unit looks a little bit awkward. So I think he would generally look to struggle to play with any of the non-shooting bigs because Dennis Smith Jr. has got quite a hitchy shot. I think that's one thing. It's actually gone in at an okay rate in his rookie year and when he was in Portland. But overall, it doesn't look great. And that's been one of the issues that he's had is being an efficient offensive player and also keeping those turnovers down. I should also mention Last year in these Portland games, he averaged just under 4 turnovers a game in those 3 games he started. So he's generally been inefficient scoring the ball, and he's been quite turnover prone. So he's not that kind of like reliable, you're definitely going to get in your sets with Dennis Smith Jr. in the game. Not saying he can't be that, but he just hasn't necessarily proven it in the last few years. And with backup bigs like Mason Plumlee, Kai Jones, Nick Richards, Mark Williams, none of these guys are shooters, right? Kai Jones might be the closest, and judging from some league, that's still not going to be something that's reliable. And having any of them and a poor shooting point guard in the game, I just think will be very easy for opposing teams to defend. And to be honest, even if he's playing with Cody Martin, I know Cody Martin was a good shooter last year, but Cody was not an aggressive shooter. He was not someone that teams were really closing out to try to take the ball out of the hands. And if you've got like Dennis Smith Jr., Cody Martin, and a backup big out there, those are like 2.5 kind of non-aggressive three-point shooters. So not saying Kelly Oubre can't make up for all of their lack of aggression. I'm sure he will try. But that's also, I think, something that poses a little bit of concern as well. But let's look at the positives here. Dennis Smith Jr. was a lottery pick. He is an absolute freak athlete when he's in the open court. Have to say that big if, because it's easy to dunk when there's no one in front of you. Like his athleticism probably hasn't translated to the NBA as much as maybe people thought it would. I really like Dennis Smith Jr. in the draft. I mean, he was one of the most standout athletes I've seen play college basketball for some time, especially on the defensive end. And that's where I think he really excels. And I think why the team have made this signing. Yeah, I think a lot of people criticize the team for how we're going to solve this defense. And remember when Steve Clifford was last in time, they had Michael Carter-Williams on the team. And Michael Carter-Williams was their kind of defensive ball-stopping guard. And I think Dennis Smith Jr. might be filling that kind of role. He is definitely a plus defender. He gets up into people's bodies. He's athletic. He makes things happen. He causes turnovers. So I think for the aspect that Kemba Walker and Isaiah Thomas are obviously much better offensive players, but are a real kind of liability in the defensive end, Dennis Smith Jr. isn't that. And if you can get just to being like average and passable offensively, then you could argue you've got a more well-rounded, two-way, balanced player on the board there. So, interesting signing. It's a non-guarantee contract. So, if things don't work out in training camp, they could always waive him. And I don't know what his guarantee date yet. That hasn't come out yet, but they could potentially waive him during the season as well. I still don't know what the news is with Kemba Walker, if he's going to get bought out by Detroit. It seems like that was going that way, but it's been silent for some time, and there's been some rumblings that maybe there isn't a team out there who wants to sign Kemba, which is why he's not accepted the buyout yet. But those are just some of the rumblings from the beat reporter James Edwards from The Athletic. But overall, it's relatively low risk. The problem is that even if he kind of really does play well, he's on a one-year contract, the Hornets will probably struggle to retain him next year, and if he earns a bigger contract. So it would have been nice to get that team option on there, but I can understand if you're him or his agent, you don't want to do that. But there's a real potential chance that he could come in and have a role in this team. I think what is more likely is Terry Rozier probably plays some backup point guard than Dennis Smith Jr. If I had to guess right now before training camp started, that's the way I'd probably lean, and then looking to try and get more minutes for Cody Martin and Buck Knight at the two. But we're going to see how this all plays out in training camp. But it's, you know, it's always nice, especially, you know, I know I'm not from North Carolina, but for local North Carolina fans to have someone who went to NC State, who grew up in Fayetteville, you know, it's great to have some of these players come back to Charlotte who are from the local area and can hopefully try and rekindle their career. You know, it was nice to have Ish back when Ish Smith came and was the ball handler. Unfortunately, it didn't last too long before he was traded. But it'll be good to have Dennis Smith back in the building. And I think he had some rim pressure, some athleticism, and some defense. So, interested to see how this signing plays out. It wouldn't shock me if there are maybe another guard added to the training camp roster, or if Dennis doesn't have a great training camp, then they might look to bring Isaiah in or someone else. I think Elfrid Payton still remained unsigned, and he's someone who they've been linked with from a free agency point of view. So there's still a lot of options here, but it was, you know, a worthwhile enough signing that we felt like we had to mention it on this podcast. But make sure you keep listening. Enjoy the rest of the show with me and Chase, and we'll catch you next time. I'm back, joined by Chase, who, by the time you've heard this, we will know the outcome of Panthers-Giants. But at the time of recording, Chase, your Giants are 1-0. How are you feeling right now?
I feel great. It's the second time that's happened in 12 years. But I don't feel great that me and 98% of our listeners and also you, James, most Hornets fans in general, we're on the other side of the fence from each other just for this three-hour period on Sunday, September 18th, 2022, and I guess also last year too. But it's unfortunate that we have to, you know, be enemies for a few hours, but you got to do what you got to do. And it's basketball is more important anyway. So at least,
well, the
that.
Giants are favored, which is must be something you are not used to.
No. I was kind of surprised too, but I mean, they are at home. It's the home opener after being 1-0, you know. Hopefully we'll see how it's gone, or we'll have seen how it's gone by the time, the listeners are hearing this, but
yeah, next podcast we can one of us can dish out a little bit of banter depending how it goes, or they both teams right. just look horrible and one like default has to win.
Yeah, like a 6-6 tie or something like that.
yeah then we can just cry into our hands. Today's podcast, we're going to be touching on a little bit of Bridges update / not Bridges update, looking at some new uniforms got unveiled, training camp invites, Greens for Swarm trade, and some leaked reporting news of sorts, which we'll touch at the end of the show. So let's kick it off. Miles Bridges was back in court September 16th, and we got the same update we got the last time, which was he's now back in court in September 29th, I think it is. It just keeps getting put further and further back. It's just going to become a distraction now in training camp. Do you think it's going to be something that the players and coaching staff are bothered by and is kind of an issue going into training camp now that there's just not a resolution here?
No, I don't think so. It's not really like a basketball situation anymore. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think they'll be asked about it and they'll give their answers, you know, whatever that may be, or whether it's an answer at all, like, and then that'll probably be that. I don't think it'll be too much of a discussion because at a certain point there's no more like contractual obligation. Like the qualifying offer expires eventually. So, and then, he's not even an NBA player right now, much less like a member of the Charlotte Hornets. So I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be something that people talk about, but people in the organization are kind of just not moved on from, but definitely have to do other things now.
Yeah, I think you're right. With the home media, I don't think it's going to be a problem because I don't think anyone
is going to ask the same question so many times.
Like, exactly. And no, like, trust me, no one who's got media access to the Hornets wants to like go in every day asking, what do you think about Miles Bridges? And pissing off all the players, right? That doesn't want to happen. Maybe on the road is where I think you sometimes see this in the NBA where the people aren't around all the time and haven't heard the statements. They might get them asked there, and obviously they're not playing games yet or traveling. But I do wonder if kind of news breaks over the course of the season in October, November, of something to do with him, and they're on the road in LA or New York, whether it could be something that gets asked to them there, which, you know, then it would be some unwanted attention. But you just got to hope that this thing gets handled. It just doesn't affect the team going forward, really. I mean, I was thinking the other day, do you think the coaching staff are like sending Miles Bridges the playbook? I know there's not a playbook in basketball. Do you know like the equivalent is? Like, I don't think there will be. I feel like I saw his locker was cleared out, but still had his name on. I think I saw that online somewhere. So it does seem like he's very much not allowed in the Charlotte Hornets building. I wonder what that locker will look like come season start, whether they take Bridges' name down. I know it's a trivial thing, but I think that could maybe help put some meaning or some closure on the situation, at least for the team. Would it be weird just having an empty locker room, your teammate who's stuck in a legal battle right now?
No, they'll take it down too. Like, they have two guaranteed contract slots to fill. Like, they'll do that eventually, and then, you know, that locker will belong to someone else. I really don't think it's going to be like this big thing. Like, it can't be. It's not. He's not even an NBA player. You know, he's. It's. It's. He, who knows? because this is also a good example of the American legal system and how it's not designed to, you know, be efficient or get things solved in a like timely manner. Because why would this just keep getting continued and continued and continued? Like if anybody like was like interested in solving it, or not anybody, but if people that were in control were interested in solving this problem like right away. So,
and that's what we do. We don't know why this keeps getting extended. Is it at the request of the defense? Is it the request of the prosecution? Is it both requesting extensions? Is it just the legal system is requesting the extension? No one knows. And it, well, that's a lie. People do know, just no one's talking about what's going on.
They're probably not allowed to. It's probably illegal to,
absolutely, to get that kind of absolutely information. And it's, yeah, it is just a mess. And all I will say is, like, if Miles Bridges is ever back on this team, the team, the powers that be are putting this fan base in a very, very difficult situation. Right now, what your friends, your family who know you follow the team, they'll be like, right, you still support them after you're now cheering for this guy who's starting for you. If he were to come back, you're not gonna, you know, he'd probably be starting for the team. That would just not be a situation that I want any of the fan base to have to deal with. I just not interested whatsoever. Let's make it easy. I know there's legal stuff here, but it's just getting really frustrating now that there's just no clarity or real update on the situation.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I've just deleted any sort of ounce of care that I have for like people that don't play in the NBA and are doing so because they're embattled and very heinous legal accusations. I can't do it anymore.
Like we said in the survey that I did, over 750 responses, 50-50 wanted Miles Bridges.
Right. Yeah. I don't care about the 50 that said like yes or whatever, or were like, I don't care. Like I like cool. I don't know. I like, it doesn't matter to me.
I just but like you say, it's going to be a dividing thing no matter how it ends.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And this is,
it should be like, it should be there is a right and a wrong answer for whether or not you should approve of that there. Like, it's not an opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, we will bring you probably another update. There won't be an update on September 29th or whenever it is regarding Bridges. Let's move on to something, a little bit of light touch.
Yes.
New uniforms, statement uniforms, city statement edition uniforms, not city editions. Were released. What did you make of the uniforms, and what did you make of the little release campaign? Because I know you had access with the Hornets media, and you were able to see you're probably one of the first people to see the video and see the launch. What are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, so I did go to the press conference. Shout out to Cam from Culture. I did go read the article that we posted about the uniforms over there on Culture Sports section, CLTURE.org. It's a really good Charlotte, North Carolina based website that I do some stuff for. Quick plug right there. But I really liked them. The uniforms were awesome. Like, it was a good update to the uniforms that they had, or the past statement uniforms, because it is similar to those ones. But I'm sure, I mean, it never bothered me personally all that much. I mean, I thought CHA, like saying that out loud, is kind of funny, but the abbreviation itself doesn't anger me. But I know a lot of people were upset that was on those uniforms instead of CLT. So I'm glad that they kind of got that like problem out of their way and just put Hornets on there. The white is a lot brighter, which I think is cool. And the purple also looks a little bit darker to me. But and the coolest part of the whole thing though is the shorts, the stinger shaped like honeycomb cell pattern thing on the side is really, really cool. and that secondary logo the Hornets have, with like the like swooping hornet on it instead of the one that's like upright in the main logo, is really nice. So I'm excited to buy a pair of those shorts, honestly. I think they said the statement uniform or the statement jersey and the shorts presumably will go on sale around the holiday season, so we can be on the lookout for those. But I really liked it. The court was awesome too. The silhouette logo in the center is nice. So what were your thoughts on them?
The thing that stuck out most for me was, why didn't they call it the honeycomb? This is so trivial, but it's called cell pattern. I don't know, cell, whatever it is. And I'm like, just call it honeycomb. They must not like honeycomb. Is honeycomb too like with the
it's gotta candy? Be, yeah.
Is it trademarked? I don't know, but they keep referring to the cell pattern, and everyone who isn't within the Hornets, I think, calls it honeycomb.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of, you know what I bet it is? There's a cereal called honeycomb.
Oh, is there? Okay.
That's yes. I didn't know about that. They're very good, I will admit. It's a very underrated cereal, but maybe that's it. I don't know. I just because it's like, you know, business marketing, branding stuff, like there's got to be some sort of like legal holdup, but. Or no. Maybe Cell just sounds more sophisticated and they like it.
That's
for that
true.
Reason. I have no, I'm just making things up here, but
yeah, I like the uniforms. I think they're pretty safe. Yeah. You can't dislike them. I think they look nicer up close when you can see some of the additional detail from a distance. They probably just look like other Hornets purple uniforms from over the years. But I you know, when you wear the uniform, if you were to buy the uniform, you get to see that up close and other people around you. So, you know, but on TV, it's probably just going to look like a purple uniform. I've always liked the purple. I think there was a season where they maybe didn't have a purple uniform. Maybe they had a gray, I think. And that was a shame because I've always been a big fan of the Hornets purple. I thought it was interesting, Cody Martin being the feature of the launch, which I thought was really cool that a second-round pick was the feature of a uniform launch. I can't think of too many other times in recent times that like NBA teams where they've had second round picks who just gone on the second contract being the essentially the face of the franchise.
I think he's like literally the only example.
Okay.
You wouldn't think of him as a second round pick though. So he slipped.
Maybe Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. I've not seen if he's done one this year, but that makes sense too. There probably are some others. I'm lying. But I think most of the second round picks you do are like all-stars, right? Cody Martin is not an all-star. He is like a sixth, seventh, eighth man at best. So I think him doing was interesting. I do think him being from the Charlotte area was obviously a big reason because the whole video, if you've seen it, was about, you know, being from Charlotte, being local, something you and me know absolutely nothing about.
Right. still appreciate nonetheless.
We can appreciate that there will be an element of the fan base though. And you know probably what I'm going to say here. Who will see Cody Martin being used and go, wow, the Hornets screwing LaMelo Ball again, not letting LaMelo be the face of the franchise. He wants out. You know there's an element of Hornets fans or LaMelo fans taking that approach.
Oh, absolutely. I think I may have seen it, which, I mean, I've been thinking about this lately. I read replies on Twitter way too much, not even just for like basketball stuff, just for like every tweet I see. I've noticed that I click on it and I like scroll down and read replies. I'm like, I don't know these people. Why am I reading what they're saying? And you always end up finding stuff like that, like being like the Hornets going with like a feel good story, using like a hometown player to reveal their new statement uniform in early September. Is a dig at the franchise player. You know, that's the type of stuff you find when you read replies. So I gotta stop doing that, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, look, if LaMelo had said stop, I want to be the face, I'm pretty sure
that would have happened. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, if they were like, you know, if LaMelo could have been out of town when they were shooting it, they could have said we want to go down the look. I think it's good. Players, I know fans love LaMelo being the face of everything. I can probably like promise that LaMelo doesn't always like being the guy and being the focus all the time. I do think, you know, he's been grown up in the, you know, a semi reality TV show, so he's very much used to it, but he's also pretty private. Like you see him in interviews, he doesn't like to be in press conferences for a long amount of time. I think he does what he needs to get to move past the media availabilities. And I think he's great with a lot of campaigns they do, but I'm pretty sure he will have absolutely no problem having Cody Martin. You know, I don't think he's feeling, this isn't Stephen Curry and KD and the Warriors here. It's not arguing over whose team it is. It's Cody Martin and LaMelo Ball. So I think it was great and I'm happy for Cody Martin. And I think it's a nice little way to mark him re-signing as well.
Yeah, I agree. It was really cool. The whole rollout of it was cool. The video was nice, and I'm excited for them to wear those court or uniforms and see the court. It was cool that they did both. I appreciate that.
I like the court.
It's a lot of effort being put in.
I really like the silhouette logo, which is at the center court. And it's really annoying. This is in COVID times, right? I had a, when I went to Charlotte in 2019, I bought a purple hoodie, which had like a teal silhouette logo on it, which was really nice. My favorite hoodie. And I wore it everywhere. And the pandemic hit in and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I thought, you know where I've left it? I left it in work. And we couldn't go into work for like 12 months. So after the pandemic was like lifted and we could actually go places, and it was quite a lot longer for us than it was in the States. I went into
mice
work
living
like,
in your sweatshirt.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait. I'm walking into work going, can't wait to get my hoodie back. Yeah. Went into work, nowhere to be found. And now I've lost that hoodie. So if anyone wants to send me a purple Hornets hoodie with the teal silhouette on the chest, medium, reach out to me. I'll get my address, because that's my favorite hoodie. I can't find it online. It doesn't exist anymore. And they need to do more gear with that silhouette logo on, because I liked it.
I agree. Someone's got to have one out there. I bet you'll hear back. We'll put the positive energy out into the world.
We will. Okay, training camp invites. We talked about the team having to sign someone at sometime soon. They haven't signed any free agents yet. We think that has surely got to happen at some point. Ironically, I just saw today actually on Twitter, Isaiah Thomas. I think Mike Scotto tweeted out that Isaiah Thomas recently worked out for the LA Lakers, and Isaiah Thomas just quoted it being like, who are your sources? No, I didn't. Which I thought was just very funny. Be careful tweeting about Isaiah Thomas, because he will come after you. We're not going to talk about the free agent possibilities who are out there. We've talked about them at nauseam for the last 2 months. There's nothing else to say. Let's just wait till they sign someone. But they have signed some training camp invites, which we're going to run through. And we need to run through them because they aren't exactly household names. So they signed Jalen Crutcher, Isaiah Whaley, Anthony... Oh, I should have practiced this before I started.
Anthony Derugi.
Derugi, there we go. And Jalen Sims. It's four training camp guys, all undrafted free agents. What are your thoughts? How excited are you from scale of 1 to 10 with those names?
Oh, I'm an 11. I'm jacked up right now for the four like Monday morning E10 signing announcements that we got. I think it was funny because it was like right after another team did it, so I think it went even more like under the radar than a normal like group of E10 signings would. But I mean, in all honesty, it was kind of nice to see some movement, some action. You know, some players were being brought into the Charlotte Hornets facility that were not previously a part of it. So that was at least, you know, worth something to me. But I think Jalen Crutcher clearly is like the one name that Hornets fans are going to recognize and will be the most notable one. For a couple of reasons. I mean, he was obviously played for the Greensboro Swarm last year. He was an Exhibit 10 signing last year as well. He played in Summer League, struggled quite a bit in the 2022 Summer League, but was still brought back. So the organization likes him. He did play well in the G League last year. He shot 43.6% on 7 threes a game last year as the G League, or as the Greensboro's starting point guard and on and off and like lead initiator. So obviously he's, you know, he's done something, so it's not like that Summer League performance is all he's got. But what were your thoughts? We can talk through the other guys, but I mean, I don't know very much about the other three, unfortunately.
I feel like Jalen Crutcher is fast approaching Joe Chile territory. You know?
Oh yeah, Joe Chile. He's the next like Joe Chile and Kobe Simmons that plays.
Exactly, the guy who is just in and around the team. The G League team, the training camp, the Summer League team for like 2 or 3 years, and the team really like him, but just never has really any chance of making the team. I did an article on silhornets.com, which I suggest you go check out. I gave him less than 20% chance to make the roster. I think it's probably even less. I mean, if they really wanted to cheap out and they didn't want to spend like a full vet minimum on a guy like Kemba or Isaiah or Elfrid Payton, who are actually like relatively expensive as minimum guys just because of how many years of experience they've got in the NBA. They could sign Crutcher, but it's not like this team is particularly expensive with Bridges gone anyway. So why do we care here about another $1 million? Like, what are we doing? So Jalen Crutcher, I agree, is probably the most well known, and also probably when you open the press release and say training camp invites headlined by Jalen Crutcher, I mean, my excitement is somewhere between a 1 and a 2. I'm just being honest. All these names are,
out of 3?
Out of 10.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought you were being generous.
These names are dull.
Yeah.
I can't make people excited about these. Jalen Crutcher, we've seen it. I think he's perfectly fine, but the fact that he's the most exciting speaks about the rest. Isaiah Whaley is like a defense first kind of like forward wing. He actually played with James UConn. James UConn.
James UConn. He played at James UConn at the University of
Bucknight. He played at James UConn, yeah, at the University of Bucknight. he was on the Hornets Summer League roster. He didn't play. I believe he was hindered by an injury, which wasn't widely reported, but I believe it was a case. So he's maybe someone who the team obviously liked in Summer League practice and have gotten the roster. And then after that, Anthony DeRuji and Jalen Sims are like just local Charlotte guys who kind of grew up, I believe, in the not too distant in the North Carolinas. And
Whaley's from North Carolina.
Whaley's from North Carolina. So yeah, you know, with Bryce McGowan's, there definitely seems to be a little kind of like let's bring some guys in from North Carolina here, which great for North Carolina basketball. I don't think any of these guys have got real chances of making the Hornets. DeRuji and Sims weren't on any radar going into the NBA draft at all. So I'd be shocked if they did anything other than end up in Greensboro. It's a shame, right? Because you look at, I think the Hawks signed Jarrett Culver, I want to say,
two-way.
They got him on a two-way. And like normally, if you look through the training camp invites, there are always interesting players across the league. And Charlotte have really struggled to attract those for a little while now. And I think there's a reason. I think, firstly, that the team training environment is not the most state-of-the-art, let's put it that way. Hence why they're looking to try to get the new training center built in right there next to Spectrum. So, you know, it's not going to blow you away being in the gym and everything like that. So the facilities aren't state-of-the-art. There are not many roster spots particularly available. And if you're an agent of one of these guys, why do you want to send your young player to Charlotte where they've got guys who are picked 11th, 18th in the last 2 years' draft, and they can't even get any minutes? So what chance has your undrafted rookie probably got to get minutes when lottery picks can't even get minutes in Charlotte? And I think that's the crux of the issue here. It's why agents will not be sending their young players to Charlotte right now. With everything that happened this offseason with Kenny Atkinson, Miles Bridges, all the other stuff, there is no reason agents want to send their players anywhere near that situation. The name has been tarnished, and it's only shown through in training camp invites right now. But there will be subtle little things that we don't understand, that we don't see throughout the season now, where that will have been a factor this offseason they've had. Just when we felt the Hornets were beginning to, you know, emerge from being the pits of the NBA, I really do feel like, and it's not a surprise, this offseason has been a big step backwards.
Yeah, it definitely. I think, and when you look around a lot of the league too, I think a lot of other teams, part of it is being like a playoff contender. Like the other teams that aren't necessarily playoff contenders aren't reeling in like big name signings, but there are a lot of things that contribute to the Hornets not necessarily reeling. Like Boston signed Denzel Valentine, Jake Lehman, Noah Vonleh, Bruno Caboclo. Like those all have lots of NBA experience. Denzel Valentine was a lottery pick.
I would take any one of those. I would take Noah Vonleh, ex Hornet legend.
Yeah.
I would take Noah Vonleh over any of the guys we signed to trade on contract.
Like, and the Knicks just signed Ryan Arcidiacono and Daquan Jeffries, like another two guys with tons of NBA experience. So I don't know. Hopefully that can be turned around too, because I felt like a nutcase for complaining about that over the offseason, just being like, why? Because I think after the 2020 draft they signed like 7 undrafted free agents or something like that. It was like Javon Delorier, Xavier Sneed, Keandre Cook, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. I bet the listeners weren't anticipating me saying that one. But like there were just, the trend has just kind of dropped off a cliff in the last 2 years. Like they just signed all of these guys a week ago, but they were on top of it like a couple of years ago, but it's not that I'm saying it's going to stay this way, but this year it just wasn't as much of a focus or commitment or something that they wanted to use resource on, combination of all those things. But yeah, we'll see.
We're still yet to get clarity as well on that second two-way slot, right? We know one of them gone to Bryce McGowan's, which you already think, you know, he will graduate from that within the first week of training camp. I know.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised at that at all. Because if you elevate him from that, there's two open two-way slots. You could give one to Jalen Crutcher, use him as like your de facto like third or fourth point guard, and then give one to another guy that impresses you in camp.
I don't think you need to with Crutcher because you've already got his rights in the G League. So I don't know what the benefit is here. Really.
Well, because he can play in the NBA. Because if you waive him from the E10,
otherwise you'd have to wait until you can sign 10-day contracts, which is a amount of time.
Yeah, like halfway through. Like yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then he can only sign two and would have to get a guaranteed deal. But Xavier Sneed was waived off of his two-way by Utah today, and he spent some time with the Hornets.
The Hornets love Xavier Sneed. Let's bring Xavier Sneed back. I enjoyed Xavier Sneed.
Yeah, no, I genuinely wouldn't be surprised at all if he fills that second two-way slot for now, because he just got waived off of one from Utah today. So
but this is the question on the other two-way slot is it was going to be Scottie Lewis, and Scottie has the injury, and now I don't know what happens with this gray area, right? Do you? Like, I know when players get drafted, so EJ Liddell, for example, he was drafted, he tore his ACL in practice for some league, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he is staying with the Pelicans and getting rehabbed by them, but he will not sign his contract until next year. Chuma Okeke did a similar thing with the Orlando Magic. So it makes you think, well, maybe they just do that with Scottie Lewis. They don't sign him this year, and then they bring him back next year. But those two situations were a little bit different because both Liddell and Okeke had been drafted and then got injured straight away. Whereas Scottie Lewis has been on our contract, then got injured, and was now going to be on another contract. So I don't know if that's a subtle difference, and it's a two-way contract, not a fully guaranteed contract. I don't know if that subtle difference makes it there. So we still don't know on Scottie. I kind of feel like they would... especially with the amount of money a two-way player gets, I kind of feel like they might just sign him knowing he's injured. Would that shock you? I mean, you know more about this G League stuff than me right now, obviously, with your experience. Do you think it will be possible or reasonable for the team to just say, you know what, Scottie, we're going to take care of you. Like, we're going to sign you to the two-way, even though you're not going to play for three quarters of the season?
I mean, it's definitely possible. I think... It depends a lot on the severity of his leg injury, which we don't know. We've mentioned a couple of times that the only
we know it was a break. Right?
Yeah, he broke his leg, and then they canceled practice afterwards. So it was obviously something that bothered people enough.
And we've seen
to make
the X-rays.
Not want to play anymore.
I'm pretty sure we saw the X-rays.
Oh yeah, he posted his X-rays on his Instagram.
So
I remember that. Yeah, his leg was like very broken. So yeah,
broken, but. To be an optimist here, breaking a leg, you can come back from.
Right. Yeah.
Like I know they can be
conceivably by like what?
Correct.
Even like April or March, now, if it takes a long time.
This wasn't just a crack. I mean, this I believe was a full fracture where there might have been some bone out of skin, you know, scenario, which is obviously it looks terrible, but in terms of like serious damage, like Achilles injuries, knee ligaments, etc. They are generally worse than fractures and take longer to return, especially for someone of Scottie's age, etc. So there is a world where Scottie could be back, but it just does depend if anything else happened as he broke that leg that didn't show up on the X-ray that we couldn't see. So we don't have that idea yet, but I still think that we might give Scottie that second two-way. And I think, or the other option is that they wait to see who gets waived after various training camps and they just pick someone up then.
Yeah, I could see it too. I am kind of looking forward to seeing how this works. I've always enjoyed the end of the roster transaction type of stuff. So
yeah,
I'm excited, unironically excited about the training camp signings and two-way contract discussion.
Yeah, and once we have training camp, you'll be back with us with Derugi and Sims takes.
Yes. Because, I was thinking like, only like college basketball sickos will definitely know who they are. And I'm one of them because like I know who not that I like know anything about them. Like I can be like, give you the skinny on Jalen Sims or whatever without just looking up his stats and reciting them off to you. But I had heard of them before. So I was thinking that there's got to be like what? If you asked like a pool of 100 NBA fans, like there's what, probably five that have heard of these two players, both of them. Like maybe, so
maybe
that's where we're at, but nonetheless.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick stop for an ad break, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about the recent Greensville Swarm trade, which came out of nowhere, and then about some trade rumors for the Hornets. So we'll catch you after the break. A new sponsor for the All Hornets Podcast Network, Raycon Earbuds. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts looking to preview the NBA season, and it's been great. One reason it's been great is because I've been listening using my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips and a perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable, they will not budge. Trust me, you can go cycling, you can go running, you need to do what you gotta do, they're gonna stay in. Raycon gives you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. They're priced just right and give you the quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews already. Big thing for me is the noise isolation mode. I absolutely love that. Love being able to just listen and get in my zone. Also, it's got the awareness mode too. So if you're cycling and there's cars on the road, you want to keep aware of what's around you, you can just throw that awareness mode on and you can make sure you can hear everything going on to keep your wits about you. So overall, I can't endorse Raycon Earbuds enough. Since they became a new sponsor to the podcast, I've definitely upgraded my old wireless headphones that I had. So make sure you go to buyraycon.com today and use code TBPN15. And that gets you 15% off your Raycon order. That's code TBPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. The NFL action is back, and we're in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking about touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down stepped up same game parlays once per game all season long. Make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TBPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins and when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code TBPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Okay, and we're back. Greensville Swarm made a trade. They made a trade with the Iowa Wolves, and they traded for Tyler Cook and Vincent Edwards in exchange for the returning player rights to DJ Carton and Keandre Cook. There are probably a lot of names right there that you might not be familiar with. DJ Carton probably the most, because I believe he was training camp with the team last year and then he played in Greens for a bit. Keandre Cook, like Chase mentioned earlier, who was also at training camp last year. But it's kind of a strange trade because DJ Carton and Keandre Cook were like, Keandre Cook barely played last year, averaged 1 point a game in 8 minutes and eight games. DJ Carton was a bit part player and then kind of like disappeared down the stretch, and especially the summer he wasn't with the summer league team or anything. And then Tyler Cook and Vincent Edwards, who they've traded for, are like legit 25, 26 year old experienced NBA borderline G League players. I don't quite understand why the Wolves have done this trade. Have you got any insight onto this and why you maybe made these moves?
Yeah, so I think part of it is probably because these two players were the Minnesota Timberwolves G League affiliate, the Iowa Wolves, had retained their rights, and their camp had decided that either maybe they just weren't gonna get anywhere with the Timberwolves on the roster. I mean, and then when they got waived, they didn't want to play in Iowa for whatever reason that may be, like on court or off court related. So they just worked out a G League trade, which just trades the rights of those players. Like, those guys can sign an NBA contract. They can sign a two-way if they're offered one, like, immediately, because that's like a step up from a G League contract. And obviously the NBA or the G League isn't going to prevent a player from taking that step up, essentially getting a promotion, you know, being able to appear in an NBA game, all that jazz. So that's probably, that would be my guess. I obviously don't know, like, but I think we'll see. There's a chance that maybe like Tyler Cook or something is added to this roster of training camp players at some point. Tyler Cook has played quite a few games in the NBA. He's played for five teams across three seasons, starting in 2019-20. Vincent Edwards played in a couple games a couple years ago with the Rockets. So there's a slight chance at least that the Hornets are interested in them outside of just it being like a rights motivated trade. So we'll see. I did think it was interesting though, because they're both NBA experienced players, and the two players that the Hornets gave up or the Swarm gave up are not. So
Tyler Cook, he is like Thaddeus Young. I've decided. I watched some Tyler Cook film before the podcast, and he is a lefty who doesn't really shoot at all, and he's just kind of like has a pretty good handle and good feel and good strength and burst and mm-hmm. scores in the interior. That's basically what it does. Quite a, like almost like a little Julius Randle, but without the shot as well. He's quite a strange type of player, I think, to fit in into a role, because again, he doesn't really shoot, and he kind of needs the ball to be effective on offense. Needs to kind of be fed in like mid post areas. So he's a little clunky to fit as a role player, but like you say, the production's there and he's been on quite a few rosters. So I think that I think both of those guys are more interesting than most of the training camp invites. The other thing to keep in mind here, that these are just the rights to Tyler Cook and Vincent Edwards. So this doesn't mean they will be on the Greensboro Swarm roster yes. for the coming season. They could be playing in China. They could be playing in Turkey. They could be playing in Spain. It just essentially, if they want to come back and play in the G League at some point, it'll be Charlotte who has the rights, and they would have to go back and play for Charlotte. So you'd think here that Charlotte will have an idea of if Tyler or Vincent, I'm saying the first names now, like I'm best pals with them, you know. Tyler Cook and Vincent.
Long time Hornets or Swarm members, Tyler and Vincent.
Me and Vinny and Ty, you know, just the good old days. If their agents have probably been in touch with Charlotte, and they'll have a good idea of what they're thinking for this season anyway. And they might be coming to Greensboro, they might not. But pretty like on the face of it, I'm not grading September trades for the Greensboro Swarm, but on the face of it, I like it.
We could be the only podcast that grades a Greensboro Swarm trade, James. We could be that podcast.
Well, maybe we should do it. I'm gonna.
I'll give that a solid A minus.
I'm giving it an A as well. I think it's a win-win.
That.
That's been the best part. It's been the best part of Charlotte's offseason.
Name another thing that got an A minus from either both of us or from like the general consensus.
Highlight of the offseason. DJ Carton.
It took till September 17th, but it happened. So
finally we'll making it. Some moves, Mitch Kupchak, man.
Yeah,
it's making the splash.
I think if the NBA had 32 teams, Tyler Cook would probably be like the 15th or 14th man somewhere, rather than like a guy that's played for five teams in 3 years.
I think you're probably right.
Just an extra 30 roster spots would get, I think, guys like him into the league. So if you want to look at it from that perspective, I mean,
Well,
that.
He was all G League third team last season, right? So that would mean he's in the top 15 players essentially in the G League last year. So he'd definitely get looking. Okay, next up, last thing to finish the show with, some trade rumors of sorts. So obviously we all know by now that Donovan Mitchell's been traded from the Jazz to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But a tweet came out the other day. Well, not a tweet. It was an article with Jovan Buha and Sam Amick in The Athletic. And I'll read the little note from their article here. The Lakers discussed a 4-team trade with Utah, New York, and Charlotte. One preliminary iteration of a 4-team deal would have been Bojan Bogdanovic and Terry Rozier going back to Los Angeles. Which is interesting because I believe that's one of the first times we've heard Terry Rozier's name in trade rumors. I know we've pontificated about it before and other places have, but it's never really, it's always been PJ Washington, right? He's always been the trade rumor guy.
Or Hayward.
This is one of the first time we've seen Rozier's name out there. Any stock to this? What do you make of this?
I mean, I think there were probably discussions about both Rozier and Hayward with the Hornets. How far those went, we have no idea. Because obviously this happened before Donovan Mitchell was traded, because he was not traded to the Knicks. He was traded to the Cavs, and these discussions had to fall apart, and the ones with the Cavs had to start, you know, between the trade being executed and these reports coming out. So it could have been like sometime in like mid-August when this report was original, or when the events that were in this report were actually happening in real life. So I don't know. I do think it's interesting though that it was Terry Rozier, and I've said this before, I think, maybe, but like people probably won't like this, but if there's a player that is going to be traded for strictly for salary, or not strictly, but mostly for salary purposes to get money off the books, like it is Terry Rozier. You're not like, it's not about getting the most money off of the books in 2022. It's about getting it off long-term. Like Terry Rozier is owed more total dollars than Gordon Hayward. So he would be the one that would make the most sense, or would be the preferable option to move on from, regardless of on-court performance. Because if you're making a trade for salary purposes, the on-court performance isn't the number one, you know, most important thing anyway. So
yeah,
I don't think this will be the last report of its kind, I should say.
And for me, it's not even about salary. Like I just think you look at this team and you go, what's the main issue with the roster's currently constructed? Defense. Where does that start? Well, look at the backcourt. LaMelo Ball and Terry is there. Like, they are not positive defenders. And there's only one of those guys you're going to be replacing, right? And you might be one of these situations kind of similar to Luka, or with Joker as well. You need to surround your star player with defensive minor players to make up for some of those defensive limitations. So, but what really intrigued me here is what's coming back to Charlotte in a deal where they're giving up Terry Rozier. With those four teams, you've got Utah, New York, LA. What's coming back to Charlotte here? And there's two names, which will be two names you probably heard before, but there are two names that stick out here. And they're Russell Westbrook and Julius Randle. Which of those two names do you think it might have been? And which would you prefer if it was one of those two?
All right. So if I'm going to think about it from what I know now when we're recording this, it's got to be Russell Westbrook, right? Like, the Lakers have now acquired Patrick Beverley and Dennis Schroeder since this discussion would have happened. But we don't know that the Lakers knew exactly that they were going to have those two point guards also on their team at this time. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I have to think it would be Russell Westbrook regardless, even because he has been connected to the Hornets in so many rumors anyway. The Knicks are probably just trying to be good with the team that they have. I feel like a front court or perimeter rotation of Brunson, Rozier, and Barrett probably makes them like slightly worse, like all around, than just keeping the team that they have. Even if I think Terry is probably a better player than Julius Randle at this point, I don't think I said that fast enough, but it had to have been Russ. Like, especially because the Hornets like would just be getting off that contract 1 year in. Julius Randle would be adding. It'd kind of be like trading Terry Rozier for Terry Rozier in terms of the salary cap sheet.
And I don't think we've talked about this before, but Michael Jordan's links to Russell Westbrook are very
real
and very strong. He said it numerous times that Russ reminds, like, one of the players in the NBA that reminds MJ of himself. He's been like guests at his events. He's a Jordan Brand athlete.
And one of the premier Jordan Brand athletes still, despite like the public perception of him. Not that that really matters all that much in the end, but still.
It's very clear that MJ has an affinity for Westbrook. And, you know, I think Westbrook has 1 year left on his contract, $47 million. Yes, 47. if they were moving for him, like, I would only ever view, I would only ever make that move if it was a, like you say, to create flexibility and to add draft picks. And there's a 2027 and maybe a 2029 draft pick that the Lakers, I think, can trade.
Yeah, both of those are the only two they can.
Yeah, they got two first round picks. There are some seconds as well, which knock around, but I don't think Charlotte need any more of those right now, not after the Jalen Duren trade. Exhale.
Yeah.
Exhale. Don't need any more second round picks for now. Again, I wouldn't be opposed to trading for two first round picks, especially for the Lakers, who I don't think have got a great path in years 2027 and 2029. My worry is just Westbrook, like taking the ball out of LaMelo's hands. You like, if you traded for him and he just like went away at, like John Wall did, I'd be fine with it. But I don't think that would be the case. I think he would come in and play. I think he would start next to LaMelo Ball. LaMelo would probably play more off ball because he is a better shooter. And for me, it would just be a bit like, remember the year when Dwight came to Charlotte? And it's like, oh, great, it's Dwight Howard, but it's 5 years too late. That's kind of how I feel it would go. And it was awkward with his personality. It didn't quite work. And he was shipped out very quickly. Now, the good news, Westbrook is on an expiring contract. So even if it goes poorly, and this is factored into this break, like this gap year, if you want to call it that, I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with that. I think I'd be more excited for the Westbrook one just because we could start again, start fresh.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Julius Randle is a better player at this point, probably, but it's just about, you know, being able to.
We skipped over you saying that Terry Rozier is better than Julius Randle.
I know. I was hoping that wouldn't get too much attention drawn to it.
We're going to revisit we're going to revisit that before the pod ends.
I think Terry Rozier is better than a lot of people or a lot of players that are on the Knicks. Not
Julius
only.
Julius Randle is a very bizarre player. He's a very bizarre player. You look at all his stats, he's terribly inefficient and he's not a good defender. And he's essentially been hurting your team for apart from 1.5 seasons of his career.
Yep.
But the one season when he wasn't, honestly, he was a top 10 player in the NBA and he was freaking unstoppable in the half court, like contested jump shots, unguardable stuff. Let's also not forget who drafted Julius Randle in LA, Mitch Kupchak. So there is, again, there's also links there as well. Obviously, it didn't work out too well for Randle in LA, but he obviously liked the guy, like the guy he was drawn to him to draft him. I kind of do wonder here if Charlotte make a bit of a panicky move for one of these Westbrook, Randle, John Collins type players, these guys who their teams clearly want to move on from, but they don't really have anywhere else to go. And Charlotte could be a kind of a landing spot where it wouldn't cost too much. I wonder if that's the pivot for this kind of disastrous offseason. And it would help placate some of the fans, it would help put a better level of content on the court, depending what your thoughts on Westbrook. That might not be true, but I think with Randle and Collins, it probably would help the team. But I just don't know what you're giving up. I just don't like filling your salary books more for more years. But saying that, like looking at free agency next year, there's not loads of guys. I mean, me and Eric did a podcast on it, and I think the guy we both said who we wanted to target for offseason next year is Andrew Wiggins. Like he's probably like the best guy who would probably be gettable and fits what this team needs. Now, then you have to have the conversation with yourself. Well, is Julius Randle or Andrew Wiggins a better player? I think Andrew Wiggins is a better player. That's why I prefer him. But you're going up against an open market to try and get Andrew Wiggins, right? And what if Andrew Wiggins just doesn't want to come to a Charlotte team who may be coming off a season where they've taken a step backwards straight after winning the title with Golden State Warriors? I don't know. But I do have some concerns here that there could be a panic move ahead of the season, which could just make things worse in the long run.
Yeah. I think I had just kind of blocked out that possibility.
Because I don't understand.
They've just been so inactive this offseason.
But when Mitch next speaks to the media, I hope someone asks him. And if I'm there, I will. You said when you unveiled Coach Clifford that you expect this team to take a step forward and to be a playoff team this year. After how the offseason has played out and how other teams' offseasons have gone, do you still believe that is the case with this roster? Yeah. Because if he says yes, he's either lying or he sees something that not a lot of other people in or around the NBA see.
He'd be the only one. he'd be one of 30 GMs that see that probably. So
exactly.
Not that I disagree with it. He could be right. He's been right before, but we'll see.
Anyway, I think that we'll leave it there. Anything else to add? Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that about wraps it up for us with a
okay. Well, a training of camp. Training camp is opening on the 27th of September, so it is fast approaching. I'm looking forward to for media day with the Hornets. Hoping to get some good content out of that. Good chat with you as always, and I will speak to you next time.
Absolutely, it was a good pod. See you guys soon. Thank you everybody for listening as well.